Guys, welcome to Vision Weekend. We haven't met. I'm Chuck Mingo. I'm the campus pastor here in Oakley, and I'm really excited about today. We've said this is the most important weekend in Crossroads' 20-year history, and it is, and it is. God's calling us to big things, and today we're going to look at the big picture, which is who God has called this team Crossroads to be, because everything that we're going after hangs on that. So we're going to focus in on who God has made this team to be, what he's called us to be, how he's called us to operate no matter what. So if you're brand new, I want to say a special welcome to you. And you should know, this isn't a normal weekend. Every weekend isn't this way. But today, we're kicking off a campaign. So you're going to hear us use words like campaign and words like giving. If you're brand new, feel absolutely no pressure. We really are just excited that you're here with us for this journey. But if you're on the team, and I want to know, if you're on a team, make some noise! Woo! Hey, if you've been on this team for 19 years or 19 days, today is the kickoff of the I'm In campaign. And so for the next 5 weeks, all of us as a team are going on a spiritual journey together. And at the end of that journey, at the end of 5 weeks, we'll be able to declare, I'm in on this team. And that looks like making a financial commitment to be about the vision that God has called this place to, above and beyond what we're giving right now. Plenty of stuff to come on that. That's why you have this guide. You got a battle plan here. We got 5 weeks to walk through details, and we're going to do that. Today, we're really focusing in on the big picture again, which is who God has called this team to be. It's going to be an inspiring day. Welcome to Vision Weekend.
We are at war. It may be hard to believe from our comfortable seats in our calm and controlled world, but do not doubt it. We are at war. Not on battlefields for nations, not with weapons that you can see, not for power or for money, but for our soul, our freedom. Freedom from believing that our lives are about finding safety instead of purpose. We have an enemy. And his weapons are lies. We have been lied to, deceived, taught to believe that comfort equals happiness, that bravery is the absence of fear. Or we spend our lives chasing the American dream. Flat screens, Disney vacations, early retirements, a life that looks a lot like Pinterest and Instagram. But we were not made for this, to be numb. Sedated, wrapped up so tightly in self-protection that we begin to suffocate in the silence of our big cars, our empty houses, our desolate hearts. No, we were made to sweat, to feel, to run so hard and fast that our hearts burn like fire on our chest, made to show the pain on our strong backs to where we become uncomfortable enough to push past complacency and flip a city made to dirty our hands and strain our muscles past the breaking point to lay down our lives to experience the deepest privilege, the sweetest pleasure of being the literal hands and feet of Jesus in our world. To rebel against the idea of a comfort zone, to work shoulder to shoulder with other freedom fighters from different races, different zip codes, and different income brackets who are running after the same vision, to dive headlong into the impossible, to see the hand of Almighty God move mountains out of our path, to perform miracles, to create beauty from ashes, to groan in our desires, to long for more connection, for more miracles, to see the glory of his face, laying down our lives for our friends and family. It's not hyperbole, it's real. Giving sacrificially of ourselves, of our purpose, of our time, of our hearts, of our money. It hurts pain that we carry gratefully as a reminder of the price that was paid for us, because he says we are worth it. assigned infinite value by the one who sees all our shortcomings and still calls us into greatness, into a priesthood, into an army. We follow a king that will not rest till every son or daughter is offered what we have been so freely given. We are made in his image. He is at war for our freedom, our friends, our family, our world. He is the power to set the captives free. He is the one who will bind up the brokenhearted to prepare the way for all to enter. He is the hope and savior for all creation. He is. And so we are it.
Hey guys, why don't you stand up? We're going to sing together. We're just going to tell God whatever pleases you will be our path, all right?
Whatever pleases you will be our path. We're treating what we have for what will last. And we will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our path. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
want to teach you guys this new song. We wrote it specifically for this weekend. I'm going to sing it. You respond. We will not be silent.
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 One of the reasons that God rescues a people is that we would be people who would proclaim forth His excellencies from the person who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, one of the things that's true about this community at Crossroads is we will not be silent about the goodness of Jesus and His love for everyone. We want everyone to know there's a God who loves them. So we want to see that message proclaimed in our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our city, to our friends and our family, and across the world. And that's a part of what we do when we gather, is we are an army that's gathering to be a blessing to the world. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. And as you do that, one of the ways that we are a blessing to the world is by collectively as a team practicing generosity. We're going to have a chance to do that right now. We're going to take up an offering, and in a moment, volunteers are going to come down with bags, and you can give cash or check that way. You can also give online at crossroads.net. And as we take up the offering, we're going to kick into, I think, an inspiring time with Brian Tome, our senior pastor.
Hey, welcome to Crossroads. I hope you had a great time so far. My name is Brian. I'm what's called a senior pastor around here. And we are really, really excited that you're here today, whether it's in Mason or in Oakley or in Uptown or Westside or in Florence. I think you're going to get a better sense of who God is because you're here today. And I know for sure you're going to get a better sense of who God has created Crossroads to be, who He's created us to be as a team. There's some of us that are like, I'm here because I've always been curious. Who is this place, or who are these people that seem to be expanding and by this crazy building called Old St. George, in which I'm standing right now, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So some of you are just kind of curious. I've always been wondering what Crossroads is, so it's really great to kind of hear it. And then others of us are like, well, I've sort of been around Crossroads for a while, but I'm not really part of the team. I wouldn't say it that way, but I guess if you take a look at what I do, I don't do much other than sit in a service. That's some of us, and we're going to think about something different. And then others of us are like, oh, this is music to my ears. This is the stuff that I've been doing and digging after and running after with my friends as a team for a long time, and I needed to be refreshed, and I needed to be encouraged on this, and I hope that's what happens to you today. You got one of these when you came in today. It's a lot of information with a lot of critical and amazing things that are going to happen through our team in the future that we believe God is asking us to do. I don't expect you to digest this at all right now. In fact, I don't want you to digest it at all. It's very, very important. This is really great stuff when you leave here. Like, it's awesome bathroom reading, and there's a lot of it too. So, like, if you're really constipated, this is the thing to take in there with you, because you'll be there for a while. You really will. As we talk about where we're going to go, it's hard for me to think about things that I've seen in places I've been more recently. One of them is in Israel. I took a tour over there with some friends of mine, and every time we would go to some site, and we would see people there with the Israeli military, and we go, oh my gosh, they must be here because they think that we're a risk and they're here to protect us. And then eventually I realized, no, all these people are really, really young. Half of them are women, and they don't have guns either. And I realized, oh, the reason they're here is because they're being indoctrinated in the team of the nation of Israel. See, Jews from all over the world come to Israel to have a homeland. And these people have never been to that region, and they don't even know the history of their own nation. So they've identified five places where they will take all these young Jews who are going to be in the military, future citizens of the nation of Israel. They take them to these five places because you can't understand the nation of Israel, so they believe, unless you've been in these five places. And it made me start to think, what are the five places or the three places that you would have to go to understand the team of Crossroads, to understand Crossroads Church? There's three codes that our team lives by, three of them, and then we've lived by these for a long, long time. We haven't always spelled them out, but these have been the things that we've sweat over. These have been the things that we've broken our backs over. These have been the things that we've bled for. There's three of them. One, we are tireless workers. We get it done. We're tireless workers. Two, we are obsessive includers. And three, we're sacrificial givers. These are the things that everyone on our team is all about all the time. It's the secret as to why Crossroads has been as effective as it has, why we went from a church with 11 people with no denominational support, no mother church support, to be a force for good in our region and in our world that is continuing to grow and continuing to reach people and touch people with the love of God. So whoever you are, I'm glad you're here today, and I think you're gonna be glad as well. So let's get ready and let's go to the next step. It's in the voice that trips across the lips of sleepers, dreaming of luminous worlds. It's in the flames that seep through the morning heat as springtime unfurls. It's in the spark that blinks on the eagle's wing, the colours that sing through the plume of the orca. It's in the blooming of hearts to love's fierce swoon. It's in the sweet surrender. It's in the skipped beat when eyes meet, the song that weeps from the open door, the movie scene that wakes choirs in your bones. It's in having adventures and returning home. It's in the taking a drive with no destination. It's in talking till sunrise just because. It's in the expectation that things will get better. It's in the risking it all for now or never. It's in the hope that bursts through the mother's prayers, the writer's verse, the giggles of the lover, the teacher's flash of brilliance, the athlete's resilience, the game change of the entrepreneur. It's in the guiltless play of the child, the grandmother's touch, the traveler's rush of feeling small. It's in the call of the explorer, the soldier's sleeping breaths, the folded hands of the old man, the of the architect. It's in the body pop of the kid on the corner. It's in the light that catches the tears of the mourner. It's in the stars blinked through the eyes of the slums, the tune that strums on the tongue of the beggar. It's in the fist pump of the picket line that demands something better, the heart that won't surrender when everyone else is done. It's in the beat of the drum that outplays oppression. It's in the learning of the lesson when all seems lost. It's in the snowfall that washes through the blood of the battle, the petal that breaks through the shadow of the storm. It's in the songs of the slave ships, the hymns of the catacombs, the stories whispered through the secret rooms, the hands held as bombs fall, the poems scratched on the prison wall. It's in the feast that greets the pangs of the famished, the quiet that rests on the screams of the addict. It's in the dreams of the street girl in tattered dress, wondering if the night will make her a princess. It's in the word that breaks the shackles, the touch that shatters hate, the faith that brings down battlements raised through our fates. It's in the breathing of the winds, the gasping drafts of wonder, climbing the peaks of the feeling and basking in the thunderous meaning. It's what our cities were built on, and the cities to come that we build as one through the touch of our embrace, to kiss the face of the wasted, speak belief to the downcast, raise the mast of release for the incarcerated. It's in our beating blood and the love that sweeps through our soul's seeds, weeping in the soils of Eden. It's in our spirits leaping through heaven's streams. It is freedom. It is ours for the seizing. It is freedom. It is ours.
First started coming in 2007, 2008 to Crossroads, there was something pulling on me. It was just different. It's not the entertainment value of Crossroads. It's not the church that you need to be worshiping. It's God. I always confused God with organized religion. My wife was pregnant with twins. We went in for a routine checkup. And during that visit, the doctors realized that Kendall was not growing as fast as her brother Foster, that there had been basically no growth from the week or 2 weeks beforehand. And they told us very quickly, it's time to do the C-section. The C-section started, and they pulled Foster out. Kendall, less than a minute later, was extracted. She was gray, she was lifeless, and they resuscitated her in front of us. later that day, they said, well, she's basically got liver failure. She has no platelets. We're not sure what's going on. This was on a Thursday. You probably won't see her make it through the night. And this went on for 2 months. We had an MRI done, and they had diagnosed 3 forms of brain damage. Normally kids with these conditions, they don't walk, they don't talk, they have trouble even holding up their head. But they may be able to tell you eventually that they love you in their own dysfunctional way. And we're so broken at this point that we don't know how we're gonna do this. I can remember sitting there thinking, if this is the best life Kendall's gonna have, because she's been screaming now for 24 hours straight, 48 hours straight, and that's not an exaggeration, that is literally she would cry nonstop. The only time you wouldn't hear her crying is the short, brief intervals where she'd pass out from fatigue. If this is the best life this kid's gonna have, then why doesn't God take her? And I would actually pray for that at times. It broke us. I mean, the strain of me trying to work, despite how good my workplace is, wore me out. Having to take care of the oldest child, having 2 kids that are sick that we just have to keep alive, knowing that my father's done and I want to be with him, and then having a marriage that's falling apart because we don't have time to even talk to each other, let alone just process the grief that we're going through. After a year of being in emergency mode, of just trying to keep kids alive and see a father die, our marriage had tanked. The Wolfpack series and being so broken from what had happened to us, it seemed to have finally just knocked down any walls, any inhibitions that I had about seeking God. Wolfpack led to me going to this thing called Man Camp. Not sure what was in the secret sauce, but there's a point in it after the second day where Brian Tone says, if you never declared your life for Christ, put up your hand and repeat after me. And I can just remember looking around kind of like a gawker, like, I wonder who's gonna put their hands up. And my left hand shot up in the air. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and there were some creative, colorful terms that came out in my mind of, why is your arm up in the air? And then people that are now directly in my community started slapping their hands on my back. And it was an overwhelming feeling. I don't even really remember what I said, but I walked out of that barn in Indiana and I verbally started vomiting up everything that had been holding my wife and I back. That night I walked into my house after Man Camp, and my wife has since told me that there was something physically different about me. I looked younger, I looked happy. It was the first time I didn't look like I had the weight of the world resting on my shoulder, my neck, my head. She actually said it was the first time she'd seen me smile truly since the birth of the twins. And you know, I'm trying to explain to her, I came to Christ this weekend, and she's overjoyed with this. But that night is the first night that I actually sat down, held Kendall, and received her trying to tell me she loved me. I mean, it was the first time where I understood this kid's gonna forgive me for being broken, that this kid is gonna grow up to be whoever she's gonna be, and it's gonna be awesome. This year, I've come to Christ. I've seen miraculous healing of my daughter. My wife and I's marriage, because of all these things, have become stronger than they ever have been. Does it mean it's perfect? No. But in May, we actually got baptized together with our oldest daughter. The twins have been baptized this year, and I just keep seeing more and more things where God and the Spirit are moving us to be a part of His community. I'm Scott, and I'm in.
Yes, I'm here in South Africa, and I gotta tell you, I'm still feeling a little cramped from that long flight. And I know that a lot of us have made that flight. In fact, there's 2,200 of us who have been over here to South Africa in this area that I am in right now. I don't know if there's ever been another organization, another anything in the history of the world, in any country, that's ever sent 2,200 people to South Africa, but we have, because God's called us here. He's placed us here, and we've been here for, 12, 13, 14, 15 years to one degree or another. We've built buildings here. We've sent people over here to live. We have given food through Thanksgiving food drive, through Meals to Go most recently. Every single month, there's 1,000 people that are kept alive and healthy here in South Africa because of our generosity. We have been in deep here in this country, and we want to go deeper, and we want to go wider. A lot of people would understandably ask, why South Africa? Isn't there a closer and cheaper place that we could be putting resources into and sending people to? And I think there's a lot of validity to that line of reasoning, but the answer is, well, someone's got to come over here. Someone's got to jump into the focal point of the AIDS crisis worldwide, and it's right here in South Africa, and that's where we've been. And it's hard, it's very difficult, and I think that probably is why God's called us to. I believe God called a people here who he knew had the kind of work ethic that could endure through all of the ups and downs, all the difficulties that we're in right here. It's actually one of our three codes. One of the codes that we live by is we are tireless workers. We could have never come over here to begin with. We decided to do something difficult. There's been more than enough reasons to stop and do something different, but we've hung in there because we endure. We keep going. Chop, chop, let's go. To give kids like this a shot, to give people the opportunity to have and experience things that they couldn't have otherwise. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, they're doing a great thing. They're building a wall. And it says that God gave the people a mind to work. A mind to work. That's who we are. We have a mind to work. It's not just over here in South Africa. I mean, you're where you are right now because somebody set up chairs at Bogart's to be able to reach you and people in Uptown. Somebody was parking cars in all of our First Impressions ministry in Florence or in Mason. Somebody's handing out programs in Westside or in Oakley. Somebody's holding kids and building into them. Somebody's figuring out how to mix video. There is a lot of backbreaking work, making the coffee. Every week that happens, we're able to do this because God's working powerfully in our midst, and part of how he's doing it is he's working through our work ethic. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep pushing forward. One of the things that have been really cool to us to experience and celebrate at Crossroads, if you're newer, you know, it's CityLink. And CityLink is just going so well. We're getting real traction for getting people out of generational poverty. And if you haven't been around Crossroads for all that long, you might not know the tireless work that went into it. 10, 15 years of raising money, fighting court battles, figuring out best systems, best processes worldwide, getting the right staff, building into people who are in the working poor. I mean, it has been backbreaking work that only tireless workers can do. And we're seeing it work. What would happen if we could take the things God has worked at in South Africa and meld them with the things that have been taking place in CityLink, and we could bring those together? That's exactly what's gonna happen. I wanna encourage all of us to apply our tireless work ethic for the next 5 weeks. The next 5 weeks, I want us to work hard physically, showing up at services. I want us to work hard mentally, going through the app that you're gonna find out about. I want us to work hard spiritually, praying through what God's doing in our church and what he might wanna do in the future, because in about 5 weeks, we're gonna have the opportunity to make a financial commitment that says, I'm in on the stuff that God's doing here in our city, all over the world, because somebody worked really hard to get me where I am right now. You're sitting in the seat right now because someone worked hard. We want the opportunity to extend that work ethic, to be able to build into people all the way on the other side of the world, and most importantly, right in our backyard. We want to be able to broadcast the very truth and word of God.
Our world is filled with noise. Signals and messages broadcasting at all times and in all frequencies. Voices that vie for our attention, our loyalty, our conviction, our hearts. The lies of the enemy are loud and daily battle the truth of our King, weaving deception and despair.
You are unworthy.
God will not provide for you.
You are alone.
You aren't needed here.
You are unsafe.
It's too late.
You are too far gone.
There is no hope.
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 But God's truth cannot be silenced. And we are a people wired to receive His signal. To recognize the voice of His truth cutting through the noise and distraction of the enemy. His voice resonates like a tuning fork for the soul that sets captives free.
You are not alone.
You are worthy.
He has a purpose for you on this team.
God's power to work through us is limitless.
He can do impossible things.
There is hope.
There is hope.
There is hope.
There is hope.
His message of truth is for everyone. We've been given a voice, and we'll work tirelessly to use our voice to spread His truth until it reaches the ends of the earth. We are obsessive includers, and we are in it for everyone.
I hope you believe we can flip our city. I believe it with my whole heart. Why? Because I serve a big God who has more power in His capacity than we could possibly imagine. And because now our church is large enough that we can actually get our hands around our city to bless it. I don't know if I'd feel the same in other cities. Like this city, for instance, New York City. It's a massive, massive city. I get overwhelmed every time I come here, and yet it's the place where my heart goes warm because the place where one of the greatest miracles I've ever experienced in my life took place, where I settled without a shadow of a doubt. There's a God that I know and I'm in a relationship with who knows His people and does what only He can do. In fact, that miracle took place right here in this building. It was in this building that I and a couple others came to put a bid on the very first building that we ever owned at Crossroads, the very first phase of Crossroads Oakley. It was an incredibly daunting, faith-trying time because when we showed up here, we were nobodies from nowhere with relatively few resources. And yet we were gonna be going up against corporate giants that wanted a big box right on the corner of a very, very busy intersection. So we had a prayer meeting the night before. We prayed in that building that God would blind and confuse our enemies in the name of Jesus. Not physically blind and confused, but He would make something happen that we would be able to get this building for a price that we can afford, that we knew would be below market price. We knew that we need God to show up in a huge way, and He did. People missed flights. Business partners miscommunicated and didn't show up. If they had shown up, we wouldn't have had Crossroads Oakley, and Crossroads wouldn't be what it is today. And here's one of the favorite things about that story. We got that building with the exact amount of money that we had, $4.6 million. That was every dime that we had to our name. And when I got home after that $4.6 million victory, we had calls. Corporations offering us 2 to 3 times the amount that we had paid for that building. Why? Because they had been blinded and confused. Because our God is a God that hears prayers and responds. That was a piece of property that God had in His mind to build you, build our church, and be a base that would enable other sites happening all around our city and around our region. One of the worst myths about Crossroads is that Crossroads is loaded with money. We're not. We are loaded with sacrificial givers. That's one of our codes. We are sacrificial givers, but we've never sat on a lot of money. We had some money back then, and it all went. We didn't have enough. We had a guy step up and say, I'll give $1 million. We had other people who were calling me and saying, hey, I'm in for 100. Somebody else called and said, how about $10,000? Somebody else called me, $1,000. We weren't even soliciting people to actually do this at this point. And so I thought, shoot, why don't we just start calling people up? So I start calling people up and say, hey, we have this opportunity to do this thing. Would you be willing to put some money on the line if we can get it? Absolutely. People start forking money over left and right. In fact, our board, five people on our board, said in order to secure that loan for that bank, I think it was, $1.6 million or something like that, we'll put our homes up as collateral. We put the homes up for collateral. And the crazy thing is, when people in the church found out about that, they were offended. Why? They're offended because they didn't get asked to. They thought, how come I didn't get a chance to put my home up for collateral? I'm in. This is what I want to do. This is who I am. I learned something about our community at that point. We're filled with extraordinary people who take the stuff that God has blessed us with, and we bless others because we're in on His kingdom. And I want to know, are you in? Do you want to be in? You don't have to be in right now, but all you have to do is make the decision that in this campaign, you're going to go on a journey to hear God's voice or hear your own heartbeat. And I hope you're excited about that. Think through whether you'd want something different for your life over the next 5 weeks. I'm telling you, if you do it, you're going to be glad you did. And not only that, I think people from all over the globe will be glad you did. Join me and others. Let's just say, amen.
We are a community built for action. A team of freedom fighters. Obsessive includers. Sacrificial givers. Inspired workers. A team that can't sit still. Won't sit still. We've been given a big vision. It's bold. It's risky. But we are made for this. And we are all in.
I'm here inside the old St. George building in the Uptown area, one of the most beloved buildings in our city. And people have asked, why would a church buy a money pit like that to have a new location? Because we're obsessive includers. We've been obsessively including our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors for a long time, and there are students that we want to include right here in this area. There's people in the medical community right here in this area that we want to include. There's hipsters right in this area that we want to include. We are obsessive includers, and we will expend and extend ourselves to do just that very thing. We've never stopped wanting to invite our friends, our neighbors, to be a part of our church. Not that we feel like someone has to be a part of our church. We feel like someone has to have a relationship with the living God in order for life to work. And so we're constantly inviting, constantly including, constantly tearing down any barrier that might stand between someone being disconnected from God and someone being close to God. A national publication recently ranked us as the fastest growing church in the country and the ninth largest. We're the ninth largest and the fastest growing church in the country. That's crazy. And yeah, if you want to clap right now, it's kind of cool. That's really, really crazy. I mean, It's hard to imagine a business being the ninth largest business and the fastest growing business in the country. It's really hard to imagine that. And yet that's exactly what God has been doing through us. And let's make really clear one thing. It is God doing his work through his people. He gets all of the glory for that. And why is that a good thing? Because that shows that more people are coming into the family of God. Every number has a name, and every name is known by God. We will never stop knocking down barriers to bring more and more people into relationship with Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 1:8, Jesus says this. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I have to think that there was probably people who were seeing the activities of the early church. They went beyond Jerusalem all the way to the ends of the earth going, who do those people think they are? I mean, gosh, haven't they reached enough people? No, they haven't. No, until they fulfill the mandate that Jesus gave them called the Great Commission, they have absolutely not. I don't know where we get this idea that smaller is more holy. I don't know where we get this idea that conservative is more godly. Hey, here's an idea, Cincinnati. God likes aggressive things that grow. We ought to try it sometime. He likes that. We're taking our marching orders from the very Bible itself, the oldest and most holy code that there is. And it isn't just an act of obedience to God, though that's good enough. It's an act of love. Man, I'll tell you what, everyone who's in a room right now, whatever room you're in right now at Crossroads, I can tell you names and faces of people who talked to me before you ever came that said, we should just stop growing. We should stop reaching new people. And I'll tell you what, if we had listened to them and we had been ungodly and listened to them, you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't have the life and the change that you have right now. I never, ever, ever, ever get tired of hearing about what God does in people's lives. It isn't about the numbers. Every number has a name, and every name is known by God. And I never get tired of seeing names that God has done something in. Reminds me, this is why we do what we do.
Kind of being a Cincinnati guy, born and raised, going to UC was kind of a cool concept to me. I grew up a Bearcat. It was awesome to be there and grow there. But being in college can be such a different place for everybody. It's a place where your life is completely changed. It can be good, it can be bad, it can be a mixture of those kind of things. But it's definitely a lot of the bad.
I came to college with every opportunity ahead of me. And I knew that, and I was so, so excited. I was just the typical, still kind of am, the typical over-involved student. I had done a really good job throughout my life of finding my confidence in the things I was doing. And when I sat down to look at things that made me confident, they were all behavior-based. They were things I do. They were rooted in things I was trying to earn, the next job, the next promotion, the next semester, whatever was ahead. And it was awful. I felt so empty and so lost.
Had some friends that were kind of interested in going to church or finding a relationship with God, or just kind of exploring that aspect. It wasn't just exploring all the other crazy things you can do in college. That part was also kind of a part of it too. And finally someone had said, their parents had gone to Crossroads once or twice or something along those lines, and we thought, hey, let's try it out. Let's get a group, a car, and just head up the street to Oakley and check it out.
After going to Awaited and after having been to Crossroads Uptown a few times fall semester when Bogarts was kicking off, I would walk away always with my interest piqued. I started to question at a deeper level ultimately who I was created to be and who God created me to be. I was brought up in an understanding that you have to earn something, that you have to earn eternal life, or you have to earn forgiveness. You have to say 10 Hail Marys before you're forgiven. And it was this ritual, it was this religion. It was, I didn't know anything else. Someone told me and led on that it didn't matter how much I love myself or how much other people love me. All that matters is that God loves me, and I don't have to do anything to deserve that love. And she flips the Bible to Romans, and she says, all right, we're going to read this together. You know, if you want to, I'll read it, and you can repeat it. And it was, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. I'm totally free because I'm not measured on anything. God just wants my heart. That's enough.
It was kind of a weird time for me, because I don't know if I was looking for something or if I was ready to take this or if it was just that perfect moment. But it put me on the right path. It changed what I was, my whole thought process.
If I had heard this welcome weekend when I was a freshman, everything would have been different, and I can't even imagine. And everyone said, yeah, me too.
First time I walked into Old St. George, I came and I had my computer up and kind of just sat around and sat in the corner like a little kid smiling, because it was so cool to see something that we had prayed a lot about over the year before that actually come to fruition when we didn't think it would.
We were in the sanctuary, I looked out on that church and I thought, this is, you know, my future is in this place. It was just so exciting. I almost can't put into words how thrilled I was that that is going to continue to be the message in Clifton, that students can go to services and the local community as well can go to services and hear that message. It's going to be so powerful.
I could see this end goal where I wanted to bring people with me, and that there's a city at the end that we haven't seen yet, and this is just the foundation of how we get there. And that, it's really hard to put in words, but like I can visually see what my purpose is to take people with me. I'm Matt. And I'm in.
I'm Megan, and I'm in.
So years ago, there was a fire that took down the steeples of this historic structure. It's been capped with a waterproof membrane since. We've been looking at how to rebuild those steeples, and in the process, realized the steeples we're going to put on it are going to have a lot of weight to it, and we need to make sure this old structure can hold them. And what do you know? What is the structure underneath the steeples? I had never thought about this before. It's called the bell tower. Why? Because there's bells in it. Never crossed our mind that there would be historic bells that are inside this thing. I believe they're the oldest bells in the entire city. They're up there with the oldest bells in the entire country. I've been told about them. Very few people have ever seen them, but I'm going to look at them right now. Do you want to go see them with me? Yes, I thought you did. Let's check this out. This should be cool. Oh man, there was a fire in here. You don't know fear until you've gone where flames have licked wood and where Quasimodo used to walk. No question, Quasimodo came up and down these steps many, many, many a time until they invented electricity from to pull the bells with. Oh man. And bird poop, a lot of it, a lot. Oh my gosh, that was a climb. I am 120 feet above street level in a place that very few human beings have been. And I'll tell you what, you can tell, this is unbelievable. This bell, I am told, is solid bronze, 5,200, maybe 5,400 pounds. 3,700 pounds, 52 inches in diameter, I think it is. I'm not even sure how big it is. It's massive. And I wonder if they came under criticism of all the money they spent on this bell way back when. I'm sure people said, oh, what are we doing spending money on solid bronze bells? Can't we just kind of clap our hands and go gong, 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 gong? It's so weird. Everyone gets freaky when a church spends money on something in the now, but in the past, it's always an honorable thing. And why did they spend money on this? This is a lot of jack, solid bronze. It's because this church was an obsessive concluder at the height of its day.
you would ring a bell, not to tell everybody it's lunchtime. You would ring a bell because, hey, everybody, it's worship time. It's worship time. Come on in here. I wonder if they still actually ring. I'm not. You hear that? I have to have a much bigger hammer. I don't feel like moving this thing right now. They'd say, hey, everybody, it's worship time. Anybody who wants to connect with God, understand who Jesus is, come on in. If you can hear it, you're invited and you're included. We will never, ever, ever, ever stop spending money, stop spending energy and creativity to invite and include our friends. We're obsessive about it. And the great thing is, the more friends that we have come around and come into contact with Jesus, the more warriors we have, the more arms on the rope we have to turn this city right side up, to flip this city in a way that honors God.
God, collectively, as your people, we pray for your healing on our city. We want to come before you and we want to repent on behalf of our city. We want to turn away from every stronghold of fear and division. We want to break agreements with things that have existed in our city for generations that preceded us. We want you to fill the spaces of division in our city with unity. We want you to fill the spaces of brokenness in our city with your healing. We want you to fill the spaces of fear in our city with love. We want you to be God over this city, over this region. We want you to be God. We want your power on display. We want your love and grace to reign. We want your rule and power to show up in amazing ways. God, we need your hope to just infuse our city. And God, we pray for that together. God, we stand together as people who call on you, who've been rescued by you, who've been reconciled back to you. And we say, God, we want your kingdom in our city. We want more of your kingdom on display in Cincinnati. We want more of the Christ-like, Jesus-loving, Holy Spirit-filled kingdom operating in every structure, every institution in our city, every realm of society. God, we want you to reign. So we pray collectively as one body, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For yours is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever, and all of God's people together sit. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm in! I'm in! I am in! I am in for that. I don't want to just pray about that. I want my life to be about that. I want my family's finances and our direction to be toward the things that God is doing in this. Am I the only one whose heart is just beating out of my chest right now? Who's in? Who's excited about what God's calling us to be as a community? Friends, the truth is, as more and more of us come into relationship with Jesus and say, not only are you my Savior, but you're also my King, and I will follow you into battle. As more and more of us bow our knee to Jesus, I believe we will see the transformation that we're talking about. I believe we'll see things in our city that would blow our minds, and it will be because of the power of God. So I want us to just have a chance right now to respond to our King. Would you guys stand? And we're just going to sing some songs to God. We're going to declare that greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city, through this team, around the world.
Greater things, and greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things, and greater things have yet to come. greater things are still to be done in this city.
Bridge of this song that says, day and night, night and day, let incense rise. And that's a reference to the book of Revelation that talks about the prayers of all the saints going up to heaven like incense burning. And it's a pleasing fragrance to our Father and to our King. And that's those the prayers of the saints, those are things that that basically the things that we do to represent the kingdom here on earth every day. You know, the things we put our hands to, the conversations we have in our families, the way we conduct our business. So as we sing this, be thinking about all the ways that that you get to express the kingdom in your own spheres of influence. We all have a unique place, and we get to say, God, I want you to be here too. I'll be your representative here. I will be the prayer. I will be the saint in this place that wants to burn a good fragrance to you. So the bridge goes like this.
Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense.
Day and night.
Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise.
That's God, we ask that you would give us bravery as we walk as your saints, as our lives being a pleasant fragrance to you. Teach us to be brave.
I stand before you.
As your love wave after wave. crashes over me, crashes over me. You are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you've made a way all to enter.
All right, we're going to finish up by singing that song that we taught you at the beginning. We will not be silent. So you're going to echo after me, all right? Here we go.
We will not be silent.
We will.
It's probably important to do this too.
We will not be silent.
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 Like we said, this is a spiritual journey we're all going on together. We want all of us to be in on this journey. Everybody who God's calling to be in, we want you to be in on this journey. So what does that look like? It looks like for the next 5 weeks, making it a priority to show up at a Crossroads service. It also looks like going today, and actually doing this before you start watching the Bengals game so you don't forget, we've got an incredible app. It's like a legitimate Crossroads app, like an app that's not going anywhere app. It's better than the Brave app, and you need to download it because there are things you can't process and be a part of in this journey without it. So if you go to Google Play Store or Apple and look up Crossroads Anywhere, download that app today. One of the things that app's going to enable you to do is to get in community with other people. There's going to be some community elements to this where you'll be able to process what God is saying to you with people that you trust, people that you know. If you're not in a group, we'll help you get into a group. More on that later. But if you're in a man camp group, if you're in a huddle, you're in a small group, you're in a Brave group, get back with that group and be prepared to process this journey together. But you have to download the app to do that. So tell your friends to download the app. Are you getting the idea that this app is pretty important? All right, good, then I'll move on. The other thing is, we want to encourage you guys to mark your calendars for the 21st and the 22nd, because that's the weekend when all of us get a chance to declare, I'm in on this team. At the end of this five-week journey, I'm excited to see what God does in our midst and what it will mean for futures that many of us may not even see. God is doing something here. We get to be a part of it. So be on the journey as we do this together for the I'm In campaign. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.